graced and knowledgeable and know what to do and how to correct things. So we give God praise for them. Amen. Let's just give the Lord a good clap offering on their behalf. Amen. Amen. Ministry is something that happens because people are working together. It happens because we connected. We are operating in unity. We have a common purpose, and that's the driving force. I celebrate the team that God has given to us. They're doing extraordinary things to make things happen. I thank God for every department in this household of faith. Because of your actions, the word of God is going forth. For you to be part of this household, you must not be living by sight, but by faith. I say that very deliberately, because time and time again when we come, there are many things that can distract us, many things that can discourage us, many things that can cause us to look in a totally different direction. But the focus of continuity keeps us coming, recognizing that God is faithful. Like the song we just sang, what God starts, God finishes. Amen? And I want you to grasp that tonight. You know, I remember we're in the prayer service on Friday, and the Lord said to speak to me about a particular thing, and I restated it to us. He's Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And he said, son, I want you to know that I have the first word, and I'll always have the last word. That was so comforting to me, because the last word is not the word of the doctor or the banker or the government or anyone else. The last word is always going to be God's word. It says, and in the judgment, I will have the last word. I say, oh, that is so freeing. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter how long the enemy is accusing you. The Lord will be quiet and hear all of the accusation. And then he's going to say, you done? Yes, I'm done. What do you have to say about that? Acquitted. Huh? You heard me. Acquitted. Huh? No way. I extend mercy. Cancer doesn't have the last word. My word, be healed, has the last word. God will always have the last word. And he said, it is finished. Last word. Whatever challenge you're facing today, and many times we face challenges that are so deep that you cannot even state it. And there are times when you're going through things and it's one thing after the other, after the other, after the other, and you say, when is the punches being thrown at me going to stop? It's like the world says, when it rains, it pours. I don't know what you're going through, but God knows. It suffices for me to know that God knows. I don't know how long it has been going on for, but it's sufficient to know that God knows. But sometimes that's what drives us all the world. If God knows that I'm going through all of this pain, why doesn't he do something about it? He's all-powerful and all-knowing. Why? And when you finish with the Y's, he will say Z. Period. Hear me. There is not a problem you're going to face that is too much for God. Mama read us from the passage of scripture in Isaiah this morning about the nations of the world are just like a speck of dust in a balance, like a drop of water in a bucket. How big is your problem? How big is it, the problem you're facing right now? Or the problem that you may face tomorrow? I don't know. Because it just takes a split second. And there's a problem that you're saying, oh my God. How big is it? Is it bigger than God? I think not. I've been in tight spots that I wondered, how am I going to get out of this one? This is way too much. How am I going to get out of this one? And I saw God. So whatever the attempts of the enemy are today or tomorrow, it's too late, because I know a God who is more than enough. And every time we come together, that's what we want to know, that we want to recognize that God is more than enough. He will do exceedingly far beyond anything you dare ask or think. And the amazing thing is, he says, according to the power that worketh in you. And his promise is, I will not allow you to be tempted beyond that which you are able to bear, but will provide a way of escape. It's a promise of God. He knows me. Some say, God knows me. And he has prepared me for any challenge I will ever face. He has made me more than a conqueror. Amen. Tonight, I'm going to pray with you because the Lord instructed to do so. And the passage of scripture that I want to go to this evening ties somewhat to what we're talking about this morning, about God giving us time, restoring time. And we talked about when he restores time to us, to make good use of it. God's not giving you time so that you don't make good use of it. He's not giving you time so that you loaf around and mess around and whatever else. He gives us time so that we can grow. The Bible says in the Gospel of John, the 9th chapter, it says, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. As Jesus passed by, he saw. In essence, Jesus came to the place where the blind man was. The blind man did not see him, but he saw the blind man. The blind man had a problem, and he's always had that problem. He's not had the capacity to see like others see. Everything he has seen, he has imagined. And who knows whether his imaginations were correct. He just imagined it. He imagined what water was. He imagined what a chair was. He lived his life based on feelings. It's not that feelings are bad. Feelings can give you a sense of what is around you to an extent. But God wants us to be sighted. He doesn't want us to live in a world of feelings. Now, his hearing was perfect, but his sight was deficient. He's always heard the good, the bad, the ugly. And it's possible that his hearing was very sensitive and better than most. They say when people are deficient in one thing, another thing becomes even more so because it's working to supplement what the other didn't have. So his hearing was perfect. His sense of feeling was perfect. His sense of taste was perfect, but he could not see. And he's been like that from his birth. Many times we go through life knowing all kinds of things, but I don't have this. I'm very well versed in this, but I don't have that. And God knows what you don't have. Jesus comes by and he sees the man. The man didn't see him. The man maybe heard him, but could not put a face to what he was hearing. He says, and his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? So it is very obvious to me from that particular statement that people knew him. They knew this blind man. They knew that he was born that way. He's been the talk of town. People have been saying all kinds of things, and here the disciples of Jesus are repeating what everybody else is saying, basically. You go to church, you expect to be received, to be accepted, to be celebrated, but then you hear what everybody else is saying. And you wonder, where is God in all of this? It's no different. They saying, I'm a mean, wicked, evil person, and that's why I was born this way. And here, right in front of me, they're saying the same thing. Who sinned? It's got to be somebody. Because this evil cannot happen without somebody doing something wrong. And that's part of the problem. Sometimes we think evil happens only because somebody did something wrong. No, evil happens because there is a bad devil who is doing bad things in the world. I was listening to a commercial the other day, and this man is in a hospital. I think it's St. Jude's Hospital, whatever. And he has a two-year-old daughter that has cancer. And I'm looking at this and thinking, a two-year-old has cancer. Two-year-old cancer. That's the world we live in. What do you say? Who sinned? The issue is not who sinned. The issue is, what are you going to do about it? That's what the issue is. What am I going to do about it? And in the world that we live in right now, the issue is not how bad the world is. The issue is, What are we going to do about it? God, how can you use me to turn the world around? How can you use me to bring an impartation into the lives of men and women so that they can know that there is a good God? While there is a bad devil who's doing destructive things, that there is a good God who's turning lives around. That's the question. That's the issue. Now his disciples are asking, who sinned? This man or his parents, that he was born blind? Like the child was in the mother's womb, busy kicking the mother. And that's why he became blind. Mean baby. Well, we don't know. The response of Jesus is this. Jesus answered, neither had this man sinned. The father, the mother, him. Nobody sinned here. Neither had this man sinned, nor his parents. And then he goes on and says, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. We have a period there, but that period does not belong there. Because what it should, how this scripture should read is, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. I'm not here to find out who did the wrong. I'm here to bring a solution to the problem. I remember a few months ago during the prison worship, the Lord helped me and I began to sing a song. My problem solver is here. Never heard it before. It was a spirit-given song. And I think it even had a verse to it. It was God saying, I'm here. I'm your problem solver. I'm your problem solver, and I'm here. He's present. He's very present. And I believe that tonight, God wants to infuse us with a grace that causes us to remember that we have been called by God, chosen by God to be problem solvers. Not to look and put blame on this person or that person. It's this person's fault, that person's fault. What are you going to do about it? How are you going to solve the problem? People are sliding and falling because there is oil or milk or water on the floor. And you start complaining, who put water in here? That doesn't solve the problem. What are you going to do about it? Are you going to engage and solve the problem, call somebody to help resolve the problem? What are you going to do about it? Complaining doesn't solve it. Somebody has to engage and do something, or nothing happens. We're always waiting for somebody else. No, God brought you to this particular place for a reason. Jesus came by that particular spot and he saw a need and he addressed the need. You've heard me say many times, I don't give money to people on the street. I will take them and get them food, pay for the food. I'll do other things because I don't know what they are engaged in and what they are, how they got there and so on and so forth, and I don't want to contribute to them doing more drugs or get involved in alcohol or whatever else. So I don't. And I've held steadfastly to that. It's maybe one time in 1,000 that I will give directly to somebody. like that. Anyway, this morning, I left here after my time of prayer and intercession. I went home to get ready to come to the service. And I decided to go to the bank because I'd written out my offering and whatever else, but I sensed I needed to give some more to God. So I drove to the bank, got some cash, and when I was coming in, there was a guy sitting in the foyer in the bank. I just walked on and did my thing. I'm heading out. The guy's still there with his card. I'm homeless. And I'm going, and the Lord says to me, he says, go back. I said, go back where? He said, go back and give that man money. So I dipped my hand in my pocket, found some money, and I gave it to him. And I'm walking out and I'm thinking, I normally don't do this. But what prompted me to go back was not only the fact that the Lord said, go back and give that man money. He said, sometimes the beggar is an angel. I said, it doesn't matter whether that guy was an angel or a devil or whatever. The important thing is an obedience to the instruction. So you want to go to the world out there to touch the world. What about your neighborhood? What about the people around you? All those people, they have all kinds of problems. This, blah, 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 and so on and so forth. Yes, 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 all of that may be right. But what are you going to do about it? That's the question. What are you going to do about it? You're just going to gripe about it, or you're going to do something about it? Are you going to try to find a solution for it? Or are you going to just talk about it? All these young people, they are so, their head is somewhere, blah, 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 blah. What, now that you recognize there's a problem, what solution are you bringing to the table? Jesus, our Lord, said, hey, this guy didn't sin, his parents didn't sin, but that God may be glorified, that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works. The only way he's going to experience the God life is by me doing something about it now. And I'm going to do it. He says, I have the opportunity to do it now while it is day. There are always people who are, when I get $10,000, that's when I'll be able to do something for God. He goes, wait a minute. When you get $10,000, you have 10,000 reasons not to do it. Just do what you know is needful now. Work at it now. I must work the works of him that sent me. I am sent. I've been commissioned. I am not here by chance. Yes, I have come by here And I saw this man, and I did not just see him by chance. I did not become aware of him and his situation by chance. I became aware because God wants me to be engaged. The issues that we face in life, we're facing because God is bringing us to a place of awareness, but not an awareness that causes us to feel helpless, but an awareness that causes us to recognize that I am sent. And the one who sent me is going to back me. Hallelujah. God is going to back me. It says, the night cometh when no man can work. Nobody can work when it's night. It becomes dark, nobody's going to work. And what is he talking about that night? He's talking about the night of tribulation, the night of persecution, the night of oppression, the night where the resistance is so strong, you cannot do what you want to do. So that night is going to come. So while you have the opportunity to do the right thing, do it now. Do it now. I'm giving you a window, an opportunity to do what you got to do. So do it. Get engaged. Recognize that you are part of the answer, not the problem. Recognize there's an evil one that is busy tearing lives apart, tearing homes apart, tearing families apart. Be the answer, the solution, God. My neighbor, they are always fighting, they are quarreling, all kinds of evil is happening in that home. Lord, I cry out to you, Father, how can I be of help? I ask, oh God, that your mercy rain upon that family. Do something for them. You driving down your street, you are praying for the people, the household, that God would touch lives. And not only praying for them, engaging them. Knowing God can do something with that life. Amen? Oh, we don't want that problem. We don't want that kind of problem in our church. Oh, do you know where she comes from? She's a prostitute. She's a prostitute. So, she cannot come to our church. Why? Like God doesn't save prostitutes. He doesn't. He doesn't like them. They're terrible people, and they're going to you know where. And meanwhile, Jesus is walking around with a prostitute called Mary Magdalene, who's demon-possessed. He came to solve a problem. God, listen, if God was only interested in you going to heaven, the day you get saved, that's the day you die. That's how we will know people got saved. The only problem is who's going to preach to them so that they can get saved, because I guess the unsaved person will be preaching to people to get saved so that they can die. No, you got saved and God left you here, empowered you so that you can touch the world. That's why we're here. That's why we're going through all of the pressure, because we are agents of God that are doing extraordinary things in this age and in this time. It is day, let's make good use of the time. Hallelujah. That is the call of God to every one of us. Make good use of the time. Stop griping and complaining about what is happening in the world. Oh, people are so wicked and so mean. Nobody loves God anymore. Who told you that? You know, years ago, the Lord gave a prophetic word about a revival that is coming. And it's going to touch the young people. Oh, the young people, they don't want God. They don't want God. I believe it was that word came, and maybe about 2 weeks later, something like that, a revival broke up in one of the colleges in the U.S., in one of the universities, young people coming together. And that thing has not stopped. It has continued. It has continued. Why? God says in His word that our young men and our young women are going to prophesy. As I was coming in this evening, I remembered the word of the Lord about what is going to happen in the days to come, as He lengthens the days for us, as He gives us this bridge of time, that worship is going to break forth in the church, that the worship and the praise is not just going to be happening on the stage. The new songs are not just going to be coming out from the stage. It's going to be coming out from the audience. People are going to, while they are worshiping God, always somebody starts singing some song from above. And the Spirit of God is sweeping through. And while that one is singing, all of a sudden another person starts singing over there. And another person starts singing over there. And before you know it, the whole place is a place of worship, of psalmists glorifying God. And the same thing is going to happen prophetically. Prophets are going to start speaking prophetically, bang, 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 all over there. Because all of the action is not going to be behind the pulpit. God is going to do extraordinary things with His church that the devil will not know who it is that is the dangerous one. Okay, let's target the pastor. If we can get rid of the pastor, then we would have overcome. And God says, okay. See what I'm going to do? And all of a sudden, oh, boom. Hey, what happened over there? Oh. Let's get out of here. Because the whole place is full of the glory of God. Hallelujah. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Holy Spirit, help us. He says, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. As long as I'm here, I am the light. What is the light meant to do? The light is meant to drive away the darkness. The light is not there to complain about the darkness. The light is there to just shine, do its thing. And God is calling us to just do our thing. Forget about what the government is doing. Forget about the legislations and whatever nonsense. When people get saved, even if they legalize marijuana and legalize every gambling system and every nonsense, when people get saved, they won't go there. Can you imagine the casinos closing down? The liquor mart closing down? There used to be a liquor mart over here. Or there used to be a bar over here. What happened to it? It closed down. Why? Well, the people just got saved. Why? Light came. Darkness had to leave. My place is not to complain about how wicked the world is. The Word of God says, gross darkness is going to be in the world, but arise, shine, for the light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. God's glory on my life. God's glory on your life. God says, just rise up, shine. Stop griping about what's happening in the world. Just be my sons and my daughters who know that they have been sent. Sent how? Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Is that what he said? The average believer has not acted on those last words of the Lord. You know Jesus Christ and there are people around you and you've not found a way to communicate with them. Why not? Oh, well, he's Hindu, that's why. Okay. just be light. And when you're light, the Hindu guy is going to say, where is your church? Can I come? Yes, you can come. It's at this address. And by the way, it's at the corner of Main and Church. So if you forget the address I'm about to give you, just remember Main Church. How easy is that? That God will put us at the corner of Main and Church. It was by accident. It is while it is day. God put us here for a reason. God brought you here for a reason. Let that reason count. I've not done lots of funerals. Because you don't come here to die, you come here to live. But something I've come to see visiting people in the hospitals is that many times when people are about to die, they suddenly get better. And everybody's saying, oh, he's doing better. She's doing better. And then, what happened? What do you mean she's dead? What do you mean he's dead? Well, the reason they got better is to give time to correct certain things. So when I see somebody that's very, very sick, and all of a sudden they're getting better, I tell them, get your house ready, just in case. Just in case this time is not you just getting better for better sake, but you getting better so that you can put some things in order. Well, before it hits the fan, things are going to get better. God is giving us that time to fix certain things. Fix your thinking. Fix your attitude. Put God first. Because ultimately, when we stand before God, what will my report be? I gave you this. What did you do with it? I gave you 5 talents. What did you do with it? I gave you 2 talents. What did you do with it? I gave you 1. What did you do with it? He gives to us according to our several abilities. And God is going to ask me, the giftings I gave to you, how did you use them? I'm going to go to God and say, God, well, you know what? I did my very best. I tried to preach to the people, but they did not listen. I didn't have enough support, so I could not go to this place and I could not go to that place. And God is going to ask me, did I ask you to get support from them or did I send you? Well, you sent me, but I didn't have the money. Did you believe and did you receive by faith? Who told you that I only fund my purpose through believers? Wasn't it a guy called Cyrus who was not a believer? That is prophesied about 150 years before he was born. A heathen, a pagan, and I used him to build. God can use a Muslim, a Hindu, a whoever. He said, if you don't praise me, these stones, Therefore, as a son and a daughter of the living God, I must believe that the God who has called you and I has the capacity, the ability, knowing what the challenges are, and he has a solution. That solution is not for me to come restate all the problems of the wise, I cannot, but to come and say, I know that you know what the problem is, and I can do all things through you, strengthening me. But so easy to look at my circumstance and figure it is not possible. Jesus said, not so. Not so. So he comes to this man. He's responded to the disciples. And all of a sudden, hypersensitive guy with his hearing, he has somebody spit it. I'm expecting money, not spit. The Lord is spitting, scooping mud and spitting. And all of a sudden, he starts rubbing the spit mud on the man's face. What are you doing? What are you doing? Stop. No, I'm doing something. I'm helping you. This cannot be help. You're putting mud in my face. I can feel sand in my face. Why are you doing this to me? Why are you abusing me? I didn't do nothing to you. You are abusing me. Sometimes the help of God looks like abuse. And then he says to the guy, go wash your face. Excuse me? My face was perfectly clean before you came here. Now... you put mud on my face, and now you're asking me to go wash my face? How am I supposed to go there? Just go. Use what you've got. What does he have? Good hearing. He has good hearing. And so he's heading towards the pool because he can hear the trashing of water. People swimming or whatever, and he follows the sound. And he comes to the pool. And he dips his hand in those waters. And he begins to wash his face. And as he washed, something that he's never experienced before starts happening. It's light. He doesn't know what light is. He's never experienced this before. But things are changing. And it's going. You see, if you've been blind and light is coming in, you blind yourself. You try to block the light off because it's too much. That's going to be the first experience of many believers in this fresh move of God. It's going to be too much that you want to block it off. That reminds me of the time I was, this has got to be 74. Yeah, 74. I was on my knees praying, and all of a sudden, I start getting tickled. And I start laughing. I'm on my knees and I'm laughing. I'm laughing like I'm going to die laugh. I'm laughing. I said, stop, stop, stop.
I said, stop. You're going to kill me. The presence of God caused me to start to laugh. I'd not seen it before, never experienced it before, never heard of anything like that before. It's not like, you know, in the 2000s or late 90s, a South African preacher was ministering and people start laughing. We didn't know anything about that, but it was so intense. I cried out to God, stop. You're going to kill me. You're going to kill me. You're going to kill me. It's too much. And it backed off. Well, I want to be tickled now. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But that's what happens. The presence of God comes and we get scared. We get frightened. It's too much. Well, God is going to so help us to step through and pass where we were comfortable with, to those arenas in Him, those dimensions in Him that is beyond the natural. I will cross over into the supernatural realm and begin to experience that realm, get used to it, and He'll move us to another level, because He wants to take us from glory to glory. Amen? Are we ready to hear God move us? Anyhow, the man that was blind began to see. He says, and he came seeing, no longer blind. He had been sent to the pool of Siloam, which by interpretation is sent. And God is going to send us to that pool called sent. Because until you go to the pool of sent, you cannot see. We were all born blind. Until you recognize that you have been called and you've been sent, you will not come to your fullness, to who you are called to be. God wants us to experience Him. A few years ago, maybe about somewhere between 15, 20 years back, I was in Israel. I must have told this story before. And we came to the city of David, and we went down to a stream. When we got into this particular stream, it was the Gihon. I was there with Mama and two of our spiritual daughters. One of them was Filipino, the other I think was Malaysian or something like that. We got into the pool, we were walking, and we were going to just wait through this pool until we got to the other side of it. But one of them was claustrophobic, and it's a very narrow cave setting, and she wanted to go back. But while we're in the water, the Lord said, tell everybody in here to wash their face with the water. So I said to them, I said, the Lord is saying to wash our faces with the water. So there we are, and taking this very cold water, and we put it in our faces. We turned around and walked out. And we came out and took a flyer. And would you know, that particular stream, underground stream, was a stream that ran into this pool of Siloam. I didn't know it. Well, if you know, God knows it. And God was saying, wash your face. Just like that blind man, wash your face so you can see. Tonight, when I lay hands on you, I'm believing that God will bring you to that place, that awareness, you knowing I am called and I am sent. The disciples asked the Lord Jesus Christ, how can we do the works of God? They asked. And Jesus said, believe in the one that was sent. My prayer today is that not only will we know that we are sent, but that those that we minister to, we also know he's a sent one. They'll believe our report. To whom shall the arm of the Lord be revealed? To the ones who believe in the report of the Lord. What report? The report that is coming from the mouths of the sent. They will experience the arm of God, the salvation of God. Do you receive this word? And praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, the long and short of that particular passage of scripture is a man got healed. His sight was restored, but the religious people did not like hearing about this. They brought his father and mother and said, is this guy really blind? Yeah, that's our son. And he was blind. He was blind and now he sees. And they're persecuting him and all kinds of other stuff. Read the story. It's a very powerful story to read in the Gospel of John, the 9th chapter. Amen? Now, those of you that are online, on Zoom, if you're not on Zoom right now, you can join them also, or you can stay where you are. But I'm going to pray for those that are listening right now, and then I'm going to pray, and then we're going to cut off from everybody, and I don't know how long. It might be quick prayer time for each one. There might be stoppage and whatever else. I don't want to tie everybody to that particular aspect and have the service unnecessarily lengthened. So I'm going to ask those that are watching at given counsel to you guys to get a bottle of oil with you for this evening. So I encourage you to take that up at this time. Well, thank you for sharing that. That's, I guess, a promotion for the next major crusade. We're going to be doing one segment this March, and we will be back, and when we get back, we will have special meetings right away, 3 days, because we'll be back for Good Friday to Resurrection Sunday. So those 3 days, we're going to have meetings. Amen? That will be a combination of Passover, because Passover is actually the day before Good Friday. So it's actually, Passover is on the Thursday in April the 1st or 2nd, and it bleeds into Good Friday. All right? So have that on your mind that we're going to have special meetings at that time. Now, I want to celebrate every one of you that are going to steadfastly continue upholding us in your prayers while we, Mom and I, go on this ministry journey. Promises to be a powerful time in the Lord. And when we come back, we'll be here for some time, and then we'll do that Pakistan. Oh, well, I said it. crusade. Amen. Hallelujah. And thank you. Thanks to those that have already started sowing. we'll need more push for that second one. The first one is well covered already. And so now it's time to raise the resources for that next one, which is with buses. We want to rent at least 250 buses for that particular crusade. Each bus is $100, so that's $25,000 there. Now talk about flights. Just to fly down there, I've been checking the ticket prices. You know, for the cheap, lowest price, I'm seeing 6,000, 7,000, 8,000, 10,000. That's cheap ticket for one person. Can you imagine? and that's not flying business class. Business class is $25,000 to $30,000. Can you imagine somebody paying that kind of money for something like that? So we're not spending money for that. but missions is not inexpensive. But there's no price that we cannot pay to see a soul come to the Lord. Got to do everything. Amen? So let's just keep on giving towards that. You know, every Sunday you come, sow into it. Before you know it, we have what we need. Amen? Praise God. Well, for those of you that are listening, get your oil. I'm going to stretch my hands. I'm going to anoint my hands with oil. And then I'm going to stretch my hands towards you and pray with you. And then we'll have those that are here in the house form a line. I'm going to pray a prayer of impartation. God will impart you and give you the length of days that you need to fulfill his mandate for your life, that you recognize who you are in him, that others also will recognize the grace that God has placed upon you, that you will have that grace on your life to know that you're a problem solver. God will direct you. He says, when we acknowledge the Lord in all of our ways, he will direct our path. And so God will direct you, and he will give you wisdom. He will speak to you very clearly on what he wants you to do in every situation. Amen? Don't get too rigid that you are not able to be directed and led by God. So we're going to allow God to be God in our lives. Amen? Praise the Lord. Well, if you have your oil and you are out there, I'm going to stretch my hands towards you. Stretch one hand towards me and put the other one on your head. So stretch one hand like that and the other on your head. Hallelujah. Oh, wow. Huh. I demonstrated it, and I put my hand on my head, and woof, there's a grace that came upon me right there. Okay. Father, I bless your sons and your daughters. I release to them the grace that you have for them to fulfill the mandate, purpose, and assignment that you have for them. Lord, oh God, to receive that empowerment from above, They receive wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. They receive an impartation, Lord, oh God, that causes them to see beyond the natural into the supernatural. Their hearing is this day fixed, their sight fixed, their speed and ability, Lord, oh God, receives unction from above. I thank you, Lord, oh God, that the callings on their lives are now activated supernaturally in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, I lay my hands on them by faith, wherever they are. Lord, oh God, they can sense your anointing resting upon them now as they are commissioned, as a sent, to experience the blessings of the sent. Be glorified, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Thank you, Lord, for miracles, for deliverances, for healings, for an empowerment from above. In the mighty name of Jesus, I call you blessed and highly favored of the Lord. I bless you, Brother John Bisson. I bless you, Elder Andre Loye. I bless you, Sister Carol Cornelinson. I bless you, Brother William Cornelinson. I bless you, Sister Judith. I bless you, Sister Ariel Minoth. I bless you, Sister Kike, and everyone else that is connected to us tonight. Every